allocation based on the formula, I think everybody would be happy. But at this time, that's where we are. This
you call it hold harmless, too.
Well, no, the hold harmless, I guess, that's too fancy a term for us to use.
So you call maximum negative change, right?
Right, maximum negative. But the stuff that was sent out, again, was a draft. And we're asking for the reaction. And what you have been getting has been the reaction. And when the Mental Health Board meets in February, we'll make a decision about it.
Madam Chairman, one thing I would like to say is this was one of the key items in the legislative budget and audit recommendation, is that the division develop a formula. This is, as we suggested before, and again in the audit this last past summer was suggested again, that criteria be established for staff for allocating the funds. So we're responding not only to what we feel is we need to move forward and have some kind of equity to the system, but also to the legislative budget and audit's suggestion in that area. I think now we'll have the board look at it, and if in fact we feel that the underfunding is such that it can't be implemented, then we'll have to look at it from the standpoint of what happens as new funds come into the system. And again, unfortunately, in the last few years, new funds have come in more often than not as designated funding, not as a pot into the system where you could actually allocate it to those that were most in need. So again, we would have to have new resources that were unrestricted to be able to begin to even the system out in some way.
Madam Chair, appreciate your explanation was interested to learn that decision has not been made totally, that there'll be further review. But I guess my question is this. Am I not correct that you've used a formula to set your budget request? In other words, was the budget request the based on your proposed formula?
No, it was not.
It was not. So that you're not, in the event there is a change in that, what does that mean in terms of the budget that's out there?
The formula is there and is applicable to any budget situation. If we have an increase, we may apply it. If we have a decrease, it's there. So in that sense, it is budget neutral.
Well, but it is important because it's going to, whatever's decided will mean the allocation of those funds, whatever they are, as appropriated by the legislature. Is that correct? In other words, that's how you're going to spend the money.
That's how we would spend the money.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's important that the formula is very important because it's going to determine how the allocation is made with the funds that the legislature appropriates.
Yes, the formula is very important in that it really sets a rational base for distributing funds. Whereas now we allocate funds based on the grant proposal that was submitted and how well the writers have written and how well they're going to be the needs that have been identified.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there further questions? Go ahead.
Probably just one point. It was, you know, we have two sources of funds. Some for the chronic mentally ill, and I would like to indicate that those funds will not be a part of the formula because those funds are special funds to go out in the community to identify high areas of need and make special project awards. The next area I am pleased to talk about is that of the mental health facilities in Fairbanks. And I'll just quickly give you an update on that. And I feel that at a time, in a time when we are going through a desert in terms of funding and having resources to meet our needs, I see Fairbanks as a great oasis. You may call it the mental health oasis. I think for the first time in the state, there has been some margin of rationality applied to an area in which we have looked at needs, have gotten the community thoroughly involved, placed those needs in some kind of a priority order, come in for funding, I've gotten funding, and now we can go to put in place the services we need to meet those needs. I think that's just, it's really wonderful. And if that works, I think Fairbanks could become a model of having in place in one area a comprehensive base from which to deliver services. And to make that comprehensive base complete, we're just about to enter into agreement with the Fairbanks Memorial Hospital for designated beds. Somewhere in the statutes, we have the authority to do that, but the legislature has never funded it, so we have never had designated beds in the state. And I think Fairbanks is about to have that. Might
explain, designated beds just means that a local hospital could actually serve to take involuntary clients, just the same as API. So basically, if we can, Fairbanks Memorial becomes a designated hospital, they will become the regional hospital, just as API might be for Anchorage. So from that standpoint, there should be almost no admissions out of Fairbanks at all into API. We should be able to handle all of our psychiatric cases in the Fairbanks area.
I don't understand the parallel. Why couldn't you do the same thing with Providence Hospital or Charter North in Anchorage?
We could.
Senator, we would love to.
We have never...
Give them some money, honey.
It's been difficult also to get hospitals to accept designation. There are many hospitals, general hospitals, that do not want to take involuntary clients. Some of those clients are assaultive and aggressive, and so it's not necessarily something that local hospitals are jumping at to do, and so it's been a sell kind of situation, a sell job to be able to get people to do that.
For those of you who are inquiring on that subject, I would advise you to speak with your hospital administration, and in working together, you can overcome some of this problem.
If I might, this is not precisely on Fairbanks, but that's so well covered by Senator Fahrenkamp that probably nothing more needs to be said about it. Why is there such a high proportion of natives at API? Percentage-wise, double the population as a whole. And what are we doing about that? My concern is, I don't know whether that's because of a lack of community support facilities in their neighborhoods or perhaps some different treatments they are accorded in terms of whether they should be committed or not, which is a civil liberties kind of problem. But why is there such a high percentage?
Senator Joseph, we have never had the chance to do a formal study, and that has concerned us quite a bit. So whatever response I might give now is merely one of speculation. But I suspect a formal study would support the conclusion. I think the first reason is something called racism and discrimination. And that is true here in the Lower 48. In any institution, mental health institutions, in prison, etc., there is a disproportionate number of minority persons represented. Secondly, it's a factor called poverty. In every institution, there's a disproportionate number of people who are poor. Thirdly, the lack of community supports and family supports. Fourthly, is that of what we might call a culture conflict. As persons, communities become disorganized in a number of important ways, we see a higher incidence of stuff like suicide, violence, arrests, and mental health placement. That's just to name a few. The unfortunate thing about all of this is that we do not have proportionately the number of qualified professionals culturally to provide a quote cultural appropriate setting for care. This is one of the reasons we really are strongly pushing providing care back in local communities where we can gain a lot more support in environments that are familiar and helpful.
In that line, Mel, there's been a lot of work done to my knowledge, in trying to help the families to cope. And until we are able to have one of your third or fourth mentioned items, which was more support on that local level in family training and support services, that's liable to continue, or likely to continue, isn't it? I know, Joseph, you're well aware of the great concern on the amount of suicide in those areas. And we, in working with the Fairbanks situation, did bring in people from NANA and others to meet with us, to meet, try to help to meet some of their needs. But I'm just more and more convinced that as much as we can get within the communities themselves, the more preventative medicine we can do and the more help we can be to keep people at home in a more stable environment. That comes from a little knowledge, not much.
Yes.
So if I'm getting dangerous, please tell me, because a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
We have APA, Senator.
Sometimes I wonder if I shouldn't be there. The whole world's crazy but me.
One thing, Senator, in fact, we have a program that's developed in Nome, one of our rural areas where we have a program for chronically mentally ill that has been excellent in terms of keeping individuals out of API and ability of that program to be able to return individuals to the village, and when they destabilize in the village, to come into the program in Nome, stay in Nome for a while, and stabilize and go back to the village. And so in a sense, the hub community of Nome has become what Anchorage used to be to the entire state. And I think that's our goal, is ultimately to be able to have comprehensive mental health services in all the hub communities, not just the large regional centers, but the hub communities, and be able to have those communities treat their own, because more often than not, people do a lot better in familiar settings as far as improving it and being able to stabilize and make it function in the community.
Has anything been done in looking at the cost ratios of that kind of care versus the institutionalized care? It seemed to me I heard it was cheaper than the institutionalized beds in central locations. Am I wrong?
Yes, it's much cheaper to provide care within the community for this particular population. For populations who are probably developmentally disabled and who require 24-hour heavy care and a number of ancillary services to keep them going, it probably is about the same. But for the mentally ill person, the cost in the community is easily less, as 50% less expensive.
Are there other comments from members of the committee? Please proceed.
I would just like to suggest that if you have some extra money to give us, I would respectfully request that it be given specifically to do research. I feel badly that as a division of mental health, we do not have the capability to know exactly what's going on there. And when you indicate the certain needs assessment, we really don't know. And that's, to me, the beginning of any treatment program. In the last 2 weeks, we have made grant awards to the community of Fairbanks. We have awarded an adult purpose center to Fairbanks Mental Memorial Hospital at $208,700 for the remainder of this fiscal year, and $417,400 for fiscal 87. We have also awarded to the Fairbanks Memorial Hospital a vocational education program for $90,000 for this year, and $181,000 for fiscal 87. We have also awarded for children's services to the Presbyterian Hospitality House. Incidentally, that says Presbyterian Hospital House. It should be Hospitality House. A day treatment program for children and adolescents at $91,000. And for fiscal 87, $190,000. For Fairbanks Memorial, Fairbanks Community Mental Health Center, group homes at $313,000. And for fiscal 87, $651,000. Also, the Fairbanks Community Mental Health Center specialized foster care at $116,000. And 281,000, fiscal 87. It is anticipated that these services will begin or will be online on the 15th of February. I think the biggest hurdle we have to overcome now in Fairbanks is to get the different providers to kind of hold hands and sing out of the same book.
Now, come on, you know we like to form a circle on fire, for goodness sake.
So we are doing our best to push the concept of coordination of services. And actually, I think the need is great enough so that each person can carve out a little piece of the territory and do it and then have a bridge going across and it will work. I will talk all day about mental health, but the commissioner has asked me to shut up.
Maybe we
well,
stop
since you were bragging about my talent, you know, I kept quiet about the fact that we were well over our time, but and we must look for another meeting in here.
Just very quickly, how are you handling fiscal? I see you have fiscal 87. How can you appropriate fiscal 87 in fiscal 86?
It is not appropriate, sir. It is anticipated.
Oh, okay.
The awards are clear on that.
According to our regulations, and we can give multi-year grants, but we have a clause in each of those grants saying that as appropriated by the legislature. But we can, even some of our legislation, like the alcohol drug abuse legislation, allows the legislature to put in the legislation that there should be two-year grants. So.
That's very, very misleading. I think you get hopes built up, which I hate to see, you know, where everybody plans on having things and for some reason it doesn't come, then they get that big disappointment. I'm just curious how.
Actually, the community knows that. We have been through several times, Senator. And it was important to let them know that provided that funds are available through the legislature, that would happen because otherwise, they would have been really quite reluctant to accept any service for 4 months.
Are there any other questions, comments from either Commissioner Mel or from members of the committee? Then at the risk of getting killed, I think we're best get out of here.
I would like to say I really appreciate Senator Ferencamp and yourself and the committee taking the time to go through this. I know it's real important. We feel strongly it's good for the committees to be up to speed with us. And if any of this has brought out questions that you have, we welcome those and be willing to send other documentation and come over and speak with each of you individually with your staff to talk about various areas.
Well, we in turn appreciate what little bit of knowledge we do have, and it helps bring the picture together for us. With that, unless there's further, we'll thank those who are listening on the line and those who are here with us today, and thank you very much, Commissioner Miller.
Thank you.
Minister.